Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth again on WJCB Radio. Now, let us begin to look at that second test for truth, Jesus having coming in the flesh. And I hope you did your homework and read 1 John 4, 1 through 5, but if you didn't, John writes this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit," and that spirit would be of Satan or of man, "but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because false prophets are going out into the world. Whereby know ye that the Spirit of God," every spirit, that would be Satan or man, "that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already are in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, my friend, the central issue in this warning from John is the Son of God becomes man. Let me say that again. The central issue in this warning from John is that the Son of God becomes man. But John takes it a step further. He says that the Spirit of God will always confess Jesus having come in the flesh. And this is the correct tense. John is not talking about the truth of the word becoming flesh in history. Oh no. But he is talking about the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, coming to dwell within flesh and blood human beings. Now, once we realize that we will see that John is talking about the very definition of Christianity, which is Christ in you and us in Christ. This means that what he has to say on this matter is of vital importance. Now, here is the test. The basis for John writing this passage was first century heresy that has infiltrated the church. Today, we would call it Gnosticism. You know, most of the Christians in the first century came out of paganism, and it took much of the Word of God and work of God to get into them and out of those old practices of rituals and thinking and traditions. But now here comes Christianity. But what a contrast. Oh yeah. We would like to think that God got his magic wand out and bonked them all on the head and presto chango, they were all had the mind of Christ. But no, my friend. It took many years, many, many years, and some really hard dealings in their lives where they saw God bring them from apparent defeat into victory. Wow. So in our lives, this is true. Once we are saved, there are still much hanging on in our lives that we must allow God to remove through his dealings and his judgments in our life, from our thinking and from our daily Christian living. Here in the first century church, it was not paganism or pagan Gnosticism, so to speak. Rather, it was Gnostic Christianity, meaning it was a false Christianity with a false Christ. Now, this heresy taught that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did not literally come in the flesh and be birthed through a human being and have a flesh and blood body. Oh no. According to this heresy, the Word, Jesus Christ, did not become flesh and dwell among us. But we know, John writes in John 1:17, "And the Word," capital W, that would be Jesus, "was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld," and this is a parenthetical thought, "and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And can you believe today many mainstream denominations and churches, even to this day, are teaching the very same heresy as was taught in the first century? And today, yes, there are many, many different versions, though, from that one heresy. That one claims that the man Jesus Christ was a mirage. Another claims that Jesus was only a man but became indwelt by God when he was baptized. Now, these heresies are not a thing unto themselves. John was inspired to write these words from 1 John 4:1-4 as a proclamation that Christianity is based upon the Son of God becoming the Son of Man and then working a redemptive plan for all of humanity. Now that is so important, that the Son of God became the Son of Man and then working a redemptive plan for all of humanity. Thus, in principle, we can find truth in what John is writing to apply to all that is present as the gospel. You can find in the writing of John, this truth is repeated many, many, many times because he is writing against error so often, and because it is a primary Christian truth, where the entire plan of God's redemptive through Christ depends upon the fact, now listen, that Christ, the Son of God, became a flesh and blood human being. The centrality of this truth of Jesus having come in the flesh cannot be overstated, but so often and overlooked. Let me say that again. The centrality of the truth of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh cannot be overstated, but so often today it's overlooked in the church. But if we deny it or omit it altogether, as most denominations and churches teach, then we will do not have a redemptive, you know, work in our life. Indeed, if we deny or omit it, we do not have Christianity at all. Now, notice why. Well, Jesus did not actually become flesh and blood, a human being. Then the redemptive work on the cross did not happen. The cross would be baseless, and thus we are not saved. Christ didn't dwell within us. Thus, we are not saved. In that case, we are not saved. Wow. The very core of Christianity, Christ in us and us in Christ, would be null and void. Paul knew this truth quite well and used it to show Christ was raised from the dead. After all, if Jesus had not taken off his divinity and put on his humanity in the flesh, how could he not be risen from the dead after his death on the cross? Wow. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:12-19, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how can some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and when we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God, he has raised up Christ when he raised him not up. If so, that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then it is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Yea, you are still in your sins. Then they also which are asleep in Christ have perished. Wow. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserably. But we know that Christ was raised from the dead. Yeah, let me say that again. Christ was raised from the dead. Wow. And he's fulfilled his work for all men in mankind. Not only this, but the reality of Jesus Christ and his people by the means of the Holy Spirit is fully dependent upon the fact that Jesus Christ himself was, you know, the Word of God. He became flesh, and it's dependent upon Jesus becoming flesh and being born into a human being. Wow. That is a hard truth for a lot of people to understand, but it is. Christ must be born on the earth and become flesh so that he could dwell among us. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week and you're getting this second truth, this second test, that Christ came in the flesh and he dwelt among us. More next week on this very critical topic. Because if you don't believe that Christ came in the flesh and he dwells among us, then you're probably not saved. God bless. Talk to you all next week. Have a great week. Amen.